We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas, and with me today, we have producer and co-founder, Mr. Brian Goins.
I'm very disappointed with you today.
We will get into that later. We have our statistician and pun master, Nikias Duncan.
What's up? It's been a while.
I was about to say, it's been a while, dude. Welcome back. It's been a lot of Christian Hernandez carrying the stats, but now you're back, and you will be co-carrying the stats. And also, we have our Heat Twitter president, Alf!
Yo, and I will not be carrying stats.
Nah, yo. But you can catch him on Light Skin Opinions and Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. That's his other gig. And we are on the Blue Wire Network now, so check us out there and all the stuff going on at the network. So while other podcasts are on vacation, while other NBA podcasts are not covering the day-to-day news, we are going to bring you workout season videos from Bam Adebayo at Team USA. Brian and Nikias and Alf are going to be disappointed in me on how I handled on something on Twitter today. We'll get into that later. But first, we are going to talk about the all-decade teams that I have no idea who voted on that and who decided on that, but everybody was angry on Twitter, and we're going to be angry with microphones. There were three teams for the all-decade. Dwayne Wade, our beloved D-Wade, made all-third team along with Kobe Bryant as the fellow guard along with Paul
Legacy
George.
Legacy picks.
Damn, yo. Paul George, Giannis, and LaMarcus Aldridge, which I'm a little offended on behalf of Chris Bosh and Dwight Howard for that LaMarcus pick because, like, Dwight has two depoys in the decade, and Chris Bosh, like, two championships.
He played 40% of the decade. Like, you got it. That's the whole. I don't understand that argument. Like, they didn't play enough.
Like, so did Kobe. I mean, what did Kobe?
Yeah, and
do
that's why Kobe
decade?
Didn't even deserve to be on the team.
I don't know, Nikias. What was your biggest gripe with the whole with the third team?
My biggest thing was probably Dwight Howard not. Like, Dwight not making the team at all just kind of confuses me. Because, like, he had the whole thing with his back, and then he just kind of fell apart in Atlanta and Washington and everywhere else he played. But, like...
But what was his last good year, 2013?
No.
I would probably say 2015 off the top of my head.
I mean, I thought he was, like, not bad in Charlotte.
He wasn't. It was just Charlotte wasn't good. So, like... I don't know. Like, I looked it up once the teams first came out. And, like, he still averaged, well, I think, 17 and 13 in the time frame that they were going with. So I'm just like, why would he not make a team when The first year of that would have been like his finals run.
I mean, he was won
a couple of defensive player of the year awards. LaMarcus Aldridge has been good, but I don't see how Dwight didn't make a team over him.
Yeah, I don't get the LaMarcus Aldridge thing.
Well, LaMarcus, I think, has scored the most points in that decade. He's actually fourth on that list of most points scored, so that's kind of the reason why he's on that list.
Does that count playoffs? That sounds weird.
No, it counts just the decade, like regular season only.
LaMarcus Aldridge?
Yeah. I was watching George Sedano host The Jump, and they were talking about LaMarcus Aldridge and how he should have made the team. But actually, they were talking about how Dirk Nowitzki was a big snub.
See, I can't go there.
I can't go there.
Because like he fell apart pretty quickly.
What do you think about Kobe being on it?
I don't hate it because of the title, but if Dame would have got a spot, I wouldn't have been upset about it.
I thought Dame deserved it. I thought
Klay
Dame
Thompson should have been on that list.
Who?
Klay?
Nah.
Over Kobe?
Yeah, over Kobe.
I mean, Dame Lillard.
I mean, Klay has what, three titles in the decade?
Yeah.
Somebody on Twitter made the argument for Kyle Lowry over Kobe, and I was like, man, not even I would go there.
But what about Kyrie?
No.
You could.
Kobe?
I wouldn't do it, no.
Just as many titles, and if you look at his stats over the last 10 years compared to Kobe's, I mean.
I would have been more okay with Paul George as a guard. And then you figure out another forward spot.
I mean, you get Dwight. Yeah, that would have been. But who do you?
Right. So then you slide Dwight at center, and then you have LaMarcus as a forward. Because like at the end in the first team, I mean, they didn't even go with the center. It was like LeBron, Kawhi,
you Katie, know? Steph, and Harden. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So I wouldn't have been an offense. I mean, the Kobe thing is. I mean, he was an important player in the decade. I mean, he did have a title. His teams were good. He was averaging over 20 for a lot of it. He was kind
not
of,
for
you
know, a lot of it.
Most of it. I think he only did it 2 years that he played. And he.
I'm looking on the list right now. They're giving Kobe 24.7 points per game, 7 All-Stars, 4 All-NBAs in that 10-year span.
Those 4 All-NBAs are, woof.
Yeah.
It's a stretch.
Yeah,
that's
not the best.
Yeah.
Dwayne also had 4 All-NBAs in that span.
Yeah, Dwayne had 4 All-NBAs, 8 All-Stars, except that one All-Star includes his past honorary All-Star appearance. So he's about the same as Kobe.
We count that. We count those.
I don't know. Kobe had an honorary All-Star appearance too, so maybe not.
Yeah, that's true.
I think Kobe's I feel like Kobe's last 3 seasons were abysmal. Like historically bad. Like, not even, bad for Kobe, just bad overall.
I'm getting true shooting percentages because they're funny. I'm pulling up the basketball reference right now. The last true shootings are 56, 53, and 52.
That's somehow not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
That's the 56 surprised me. The 52 is not good.
Yeah, but he played 8 games in one of those
What's
seasons.
What's his usage, though?
12.
12? 12's not his usage.
No, 12 games. Damn, he played 12 games that season?
He had a 12-game season, a 32-game season.
Well, he had the Achilles injury, remember?
The what?
The Achilles injury.
The podcast where we watch Gianni silently read stats.
No, it's that I think Basketball Reference cuts off at the 2012 year. That's kind of weird. Okay, this is going off to a great start. But yeah.
this is fantastic.
Yeah, but I guess the Dwayne thing I also kind of look at, and maybe it's us being kind of homer guys, or at least me being a homer guy, but
it's carryover, man, from the previous decade.
We'll talk about Carmelo in a second, but the Westbrook over Dwayne thing, our own Jack Alfonso of Heat
over
told
the last
me that
10
I was
years, cool. I would.
Yeah, I don't think that's a hot take at all.
I mean, honestly, does Dwayne even deserve to be all third team decade? I mean,
yes, he does. Get out of here.
I mean, he had the 2 titles, but when was his last elite year?
I mean, they're counting 6 years
ago?
Counting the 2009-2010 season, which was
so,
really
but
really
2013
good.
Was his last probably elite year.
He wasn't bad.
We're talking about elite though. This is for the top 15 players of the entire decade. Now, if you're talking about the previous decade, yeah, I'd put Dwayne Wade all first team for that decade. But for this past 10 years, I mean, Dwayne's, the last five of them, he has, you know, he hasn't been an elite player.
I mean, four all NBAs, and what is it, two all defensive teams?
Those for all that came in the first half.
In the first part, yeah.
he front loaded those accomplishments.
All that came in the first half. Everything after like 2013. I mean, and he's had, you know, his moments, but he hasn't been elite. Like everybody on that list should have been elite.
And, I mean, I could be talked off of Westbrook. I mean, Westbrook.
I just don't understand how Dame isn't on there.
I mean, then you're taking either Dwayne or Kobe off.
Just something for him to ref about, I guess.
I would take both of them off. And Dame, Clay, Kyrie, there's a lot of different guys who've, over the past 10 years.
I was about to say, I think
it gets
a lot easier if they actually started in like 2010.
Yeah.
Yeah, the arbitrary end line was weird.
Yeah, that's where you get Wade and you get Kobe because they're still like they're at the peak of their powers at that point.
I mean, that 2009-2010 season was almost as good as the 2008-2009 season. I mean, Dwayne was really, really good that year.
Yeah, he was absurd in that playoffs.
He was absurd. And I think people forget that he missed like 10 games like down the stretch, which really affected their seeding. And like the Heat were like totally in the tank when he didn't play. They were going to Michael Beasley and Jermaine O'Neal at the end of games. That was such a bad team, dude. I love that team. That's my favorite Heat team, oddly. Like, just to watch, I enjoyed basketball so much watching that team. It was so weird. I thought Kawhi. Do you think if Kawhi doesn't win the title, he makes it to the first team?
I mean, that's
if the shot against the Sixers doesn't go in, do you think
he makes
that first
MVP
team?
He's a Finals MVP in the last 10 years.
Yeah, but. Yeah.
Do you think they sneak Davis in over him?
I don't think they do that. No.
Like if we rewind to that series against the Sixers and his shot rims out and they lose in overtime.
Nick Hyatt is so right. This is so stupid. It's such
no,
a stupid
it's ridiculous
topic because
it's,
of the arbitrary endpoints that they put on it.
It's
like,
August, Alf. It's 09, August.
09-10 should not count in the decade.
It's August, so dog. It's August.
Like 2010-2011, and we like. The Kobe argument would be gone. The Dwight Howard argument would be gone. The Dwayne argument would probably be gone. And then you'd have guys like Dame. You'd have guys like Kyrie. You'd have the younger guys that would have a chance. It's just a stupid, stupid list.
We want Dwayne on the list, though.
It's like that top 50 MCs, top 50 rapper list.
What happened?
There's a top 50 rapper list that came out, and Joe Budden was number 3.
Who?
Joe Budden, not Joe Biden.
Wait, the guy that has a podcast?
Yeah.
Who's Joe Budden?
I didn't think he was a real rapper. He's actually a real rapper.
Pump it up. He had a hit back in when I was 4.
And he began rapping in 1999.
Yeah. Okay, Joe Budden is not. But it's just they put out these lists and now we just have to talk about it. It's
August. They give us content, man. I mean, what else do you want? They gave us free content. They gave us something. They put Melo on the second team. It's just for us to argue.
Melo.
I would love.
So wait, who missed the cut on this rap list? Where's Jadakiss?
I think didn't on the list that Budden was 3. Didn't Kanye like miss the list?
I don't know, but he was way down.
That's insane.
I think Kanye didn't make it, which made it even more.
Rick Ross was over 50, which I've been arguing for a while, but so that made me happy.
I think Rick Ross is a little overrated.
50 is super overrated.
No, I think 50 is better than Rick Ross.
Dude, 50?
Yeah, 50 is over.
When he just,
I feel like 50 at his peak made better music. I don't think he's ever rapped better than
him. Yeah, exactly. I'm just talking about rap. I'm not talking about hits. I'm not talking about catchy choruses. I'm talking about just straight rapping. Like 50's kind of trash.
You saw who landed at number 33? You saw my boy who beat out Snoop?
Jeezy?
Yeah.
How the hell is Snoop in the 30s? Anyway, so that's what I'm saying. Like
I think Lil Wayne's placement is very good. Most overrated rapper ever. He had a little run in the Carter 2 to like the Carter 3.
He had a mixtape run in the Carters and
like
apparently
the Carter 2 and 3 are good and everything else. I'm just like, you know.
Apparently he didn't write any of that shit, by the
Go
way.
Go DJ wasn't that good, okay?
Go DJ wasn't What a take.
All right, guys, I'm going to give you a quick break from my horrible takes to introduce you to ShipStation. When you're selling online, getting your orders out can be a real pain. That's why you need ShipStation.com. It's the fastest, easiest, and most affordable way to manage and ship your orders. No matter where you're selling, Amazon, Etsy, or your own website, ShipStation brings you all your orders into one simple interface. ShipStation also helps you get out orders quickly, save money on shipping costs, and keep your customers happy. And right now, Blue Wire listeners can try ShipStation for free for 60 days when you use promo code BLUE. There's absolutely no risk. You start your free trial without even entering your credit card info. That's always a big thing for me. ShipStation works with all the major carriers, including UPS, FedEx, UPS, and even Amazon Fulfillment. So you can compare and choose the best shipping solution for you and your customer. No wonder ShipStation is the number one choice for online sellers. You'll ship more in less time with the best rates available. Just visit ShipStation.com. Click the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in BLUE. That's ShipStation.com. Then enter promo code BLUE. ShipStation.com. Make ship happen.
Okay, no. So here's a question. I actually posted to Coach Thorpe yesterday on...
That's my guy, dude. I love Coach Thorpe.
And we were talking... We were on five... We were doing the Five on the Floor, whatever, podcast with me and Ethan. And it was before UD
signed.
Way
to sell it.
Yeah.
Damn, you had Coach Thorpe on?
Yeah, we had... He's.
It's damn, gonna, yo.
What's gonna be
I should have got that from Ethan on the way out.
It's gonna be dropping overnight. Because UD hadn't signed yet, so the question was, because the Heat last year had trouble scoring, what were they, 26th in offense last year? Does no, Melo make sense?
Like, they're like 17th or something in offensive efficiency.
If UD didn't sign, or still, if they somehow clear a roster spot, does Melo make sense on this team coming off the bench?
No, done. Absolutely not. No.
Conversation over.
It's like, I don't like, what is he going to do? Like, he wasn't even shooting threes well in Houston. In Houston!
I don't know. I don't want him. I just see it being posited on Twitter all the time, and I'm like, why? Like, we're trying to go young. Like, we're trying to play faster, and why Melo?
Listen, if you're going to, like, even if... We know what we're getting defensively from Melo at this point. Like, even if you tell me, like, Melo's going to be a turnstile on defense, like, you're not going to get anything from him on that end. If he could at least be a plus three-point shooter, you kind of think about it, right? You'd be like, okay, you know, a guy who could play the four, can space the floor, can kind of give Jimmy a little space, give Justice some space, kind of, they don't really have a lot of stretch bigs that you trust. Yeah.
Like the Joe Johnson role?
Dude, you play him 15 minutes, some crunch time minutes if he's hot, you know, he's a guy. But, I mean, last year in Houston, he was shooting a career high in attempts, 6.4, and he was shooting under 33% on them. Like, that's and not...
James Johnson was used as a facilitator, a defender. Like, scoring wasn't why you had James Johnson in there.
I mean, but JJ can also, like, attack switches and stuff like that. So, at least on offense, he's helping, and he's bringing the ball up. You know, you can do different things with him. Melo, like, you're going to watch him jab step from 17 feet? And, like, credit to him. Like, dude, the dude bought in Houston. I mean, the dude was only taking threes. He was trying really hard to fit into that system. Like, I don't want to take that away from him because I do think that, like, he catches a lot of, like, strays that aren't fair. But... considering that he did not have a good shooting year, and there's no reason to think that'll improve on a team that has less people to create for him, I don't see why.
Yeah, I didn't like it either. I was just going off of Twitter rumors and Twitter.
What are you gonna say, Nikias?
I was just gonna say I just don't see it. I feel like if you're gonna go like the stretch big route, which is basically what Melo would be at this point, just play Myers Leonard and you pair him with James Johnson, and you just kind of go from there. There's no need to waste the spot.
And also, if you're gonna like give them the vet minimum, like because they're hard capped, you might as well wait for the buyout market, right? Yeah. Like what you probably can find something better in the buyout market than that, you know? Like
Coach Thorpe loved Myers Leonard, by the way. He absolutely it's not like he basically said it's not like he's a great shooter for a big, he's just a great shooter.
We actually haven't talked much about him. I think that
Oh, wait, why haven't we talked much about him, Gianni? Do you even know who he is?
Guy played in Portland, had a really good playoff game. I mean, I don't think he's a guy that people have been spectating too much. Ellie, Myers, please come on.
Ellie.
What, Ellie? How do you say her name? What's his wife's name? L?
It's L.
E-L-L-E. Brian, do you want to tell the people what happened to me on Twitter today?
Do I have to?
I thought we were going to lean into it. I mean, we're getting into Myers-Leonard talk, so...
I'll tell it.
Wait, hold on. I thought there was breaking news from Barry Jackson. He wrote something about Bradley Beal, and I was getting really excited.
Barry, don't do that! Barry did that on purpose. He knows what he's doing. Barry knows what we want.
So, what happened on Twitter was, on our group chat, our Miami Heat management group chat, Christian Hand is screen-capped a conversation in which he recommended we should try to get Myers Leonard and L. Leonard, his wife, on the podcast together. Everyone agreed that that would be a great idea, except for you.
Why?
You asked everybody, who the hell are they?
I didn't know who they are. You just said Myers and L, and I was like, well, who's Myers and L? I thought they were like an NBA podcast tandem or something that I had never heard of. I was like, who are they? I even searched on Twitter, Myers and L. I was like,
I've never seen someone who spends as much time on Twitter as you do, but be completely oblivious to the happenings on Twitter.
What happened?
Like, not read anybody else's shit and just post your own tweets? And just
I gotta
move
be
on?
Honest with you, I've barely been on my sports account like the last month. Like, it's been, that's why, like, I'm never in that group chat. I just pop in and I'm like, what's going on over here?
And then you ask the dumbest questions.
I do. I ask really dumb questions.
Did he trade for Jimmy Butler? Like, motherfucker. You run a
what was I supposed to know who Myers Leonard's wife was?
Bro, she's been all over Instagram and Twitter. Like, she's a better shooter than that he'd had. Oh my God.
She's been like burning Hassan Whiteside since his way out.
Wait, really?
Yes.
She's the best. Like, she's amazing. She
hold on, wait a second. What?
She's a Heat lifer. What was that? She was behind the 3-point line and shooting threes, basically. Perfect. One-handed, right, left, right, left. I'm saying, what'd she do, like 10 straight?
Yeah.
And one-handed, like just right-handed, left-handed, right-handed, left. It was amazing.
Oh my God, she has a behind-the-back dribble. Josh didn't even have that.
Oh, no.
Yeah, she's like the...
10-day?
I'm telling
you. Well, we don't have a roster spot now, so...
I mean, they're hard caps. Can they? Wow.
Tell them how you really feel, Nakias.
Yo, she's doing shooting drills. What?
She's amazing. The first day she got it, she was like, I need a hoop.
How have I missed this?
Bro, you're insane.
You're doing subtitled anime stuff. I mean,
wow.
It's fine.
One-handed threes. She's better than Bam at this. And JJ.
And Hero.
Wonder what her wingspan is.
I was gonna say she probably has a bigger wingspan than Tyler.
Oh man.
Get her a camp invite. I want to see that one-on-one. Her.
Yeah, but she's been trolling Hassan. Like she's legit, man.
Yo, is when Hassan comes, is he getting booed?
Probably.
You think he's getting booed? I don't know.
Yeah.
He's gonna get booed.
Like big time or just like a haphazard boo? Like
it's
kind of
like
way
a very
big.
Specific section of the arena, but he's gonna get booed.
The 400
management coaching.
It's gonna be a small section at the game, and then
the corporate offices, the Heat bench. It's gonna be Spo. Just
Spo. It's gonna be Marcus Cambying Hassan.
With a fake mustache sitting in the first row.
Oh my God. Everybody but Eric Reed and John Crotty. They bring the positivity.
I think Eric Reed is still booing.
I'm actually like very curious. I want to go to that game because like...
Why do you want to go to that game so bad?
Because Hassan's kind of like an enigma.
Coming back.
Because I like
23-20 in a loss.
Oh my God, Hassan is gonna be like the second coming of Will Chamberlain that night. I want to be there for that.
I just want to see Bam.
Bam is gonna lock him.
He's
down.
Gonna baptize Bam.
Are you
honestly
kidding? Oh my God, I actually do want to go to that game now. I want to see Bam lock him down so bad.
Nah, dude, I tell you, if I'm Bam, I fake a hamstring injury that day. I don't want that. I don't want that.
Hero dropping 35 that game.
Because Hassan's not gonna go out and defend him.
Exactly.
Oh my god, can you imagine if Jimmy Butler gets in his face? That'd be hilarious.
Jimmy Butler would have killed Hassan if Hassan was here.
You know what's funny though? What Spo was gonna scheme Hassan out of that game. And he's gonna
start Kelly at the five. He's gonna start Kelly at Myers.
Oh my god.
He's gonna want us to play like 45 minutes that game, and like he's literally gonna get schemed down to about 12. It's amazing. Did you see that he might not even start?
No way.
I think they're gonna end up starting Hassan and Zach Collins together.
The funny thing is he was on Instagram like, I did all this with 23 minutes a game. Imagine me with 30 plus minutes a game. I'm like, I don't even know if you can get 30 plus minutes a game. Maybe.
Oh, yeah. His 2K rating? Yeah, I saw that.
Yo, this girl has a crossover step back jumper. Like, what?
Do you see why we want her on the show?
Oh my god. I feel horrible for not... L. Leonard, this is a formal apology. You need to get on Twitter.
Because she responded to you.
I have not been on Twitter very much lately. I have not seen your skills and what you're capable of. I am embarrassed that I did. I mean, she's doing a skyhook. Nobody on the team can do a skyhook.
Yeah, she's amazing.
L. Leonard, I am sorry that I did not know who you were. I'm sorry that I thought you were part of a wacky podcast duo that Brian and Christian really wanted on.
Podcast duo.
I apologize. And maybe you and your husband should do a podcast duo. Because I think you're better at basketball than him, clearly.
She wrote a nice article about leaving Portland. Like, it's really good.
I got to read that. She's a writer, too. She's better at this than us.
She's a new first lady of the Heat now that Gabby's gone.
Wait, no, that's Kate.
Kate's the first lady of Heat. She'll be on next week.
Oh, yeah. First lady of the Heat. Yeah, it could be her.
Wow. Okay.
But yeah, so. She responded to my tweet because Christian had wrote, y'all can officially have him at the Toronto Raptors Twitter account. To which I responded, should we tell him? And I tagged both Myers and L. Leonard. And L. responded back to me saying, haha, I don't know. We might want to keep it a secret.
Look at her. Just fun loving.
She's so fun loving.
Salt of the earth. And you just ruined it.
And then you responded back saying, why is everyone bullying me? To which I responded saying, apologize to the NBA's power couple right now.
You need to go on Twitter and give a huge
mea culpa. I need to cut up that apology. I may need to film myself doing it.
The best part is that you misspelled they.
Oh, no. I misspelled so much. I was on a typo streak, man.
And L. Leonard saw that you're functionally illiterate.
A guy named Renzo on Twitter wrote, who the hell are they? He quoted your tweet. And it's so perfectly Renzo's Gianni. Cool. You'll have to excuse him, Al. He means well. And she liked that.
Shout out to Renzo.
Shout out to L. Leonard.
Shout out to L. Leonard. Shout out to the Leonards. Shout out to the future stretch five of the Heat who's going to scheme Hassan out of that game. We got shooters.
They're just going to put him in so many pick and rolls. It's going to be amazing.
How's that not a shirt yet? Why aren't we selling it?
What's that?
We got shooters.
Myers and L?
Yeah.
They could do a Mr. and Mrs. Smith pose.
There you go.
There it is.
Ooh, I have another great shirt idea. So, remember how we kept talking about Biscayne Buckets?
What? Don't say it on the
podcast. Brian, this is not a marketing meeting.
What are we doing?
I got a great idea. Let me broadcast it before we actually do it.
I'm already coming up with a shirt. But anyway, so
all my good ideas on air so somebody can take them.
So, like, you know, like those NBA Jam shirts that you see, like, the Homage Baron brand creating? So we make one that says Biscayne Buckets on it in the NBA Jam font. And on it, we have both Jimmy Butler and Tyler Hero.
Are you gonna bossa nova this?
I don't know what that means.
That's so inside. Where's Alex? Nikias, you don't know?
No, I don't.
Damn, you don't listen to anything on The Athletic?
I do. Oh, okay, I got you now.
Come on, man.
Like, I listen to Athletic pods, but they're like not in the regular rotation, if that makes sense.
Shame on you, dude. Dave Dufour
subscribed to like 18 pods, man.
Dave Dufour did not go to The Athletic for this.
Dave,
come back on, man. We miss you. Okay, so I do want to talk about hashtag workout season, Bam Adebayo shooting fadeaways over one Jason Tatum who has cement feet. I don't know.
He gave the whole Celtics team work. That's not, like, it's that's like not he's impressive. Just picking on Celtics. Yeah, of course it's not impressive.
But. I mean, Brook Lopez did that, you know. It was a...
They didn't have the genius Brad Stevens to save him.
Nikias, you and I are in agreement. We're not impressed by that at all.
Like, I didn't want to tweet it because I have enough stuff with Bam that I have to reckon with. But like he's making like 12 footers over 6'7" and 6'8" forwards. And while the shooting touch is soft, and I think at least some of that's going to translate, I just didn't get the whole here comes the MVP season type stuff with Bam. It's just kind of, it was a bit much for me.
I mean, I think I even asked, like, what's the over-under on fadeaways he's going to take? And I set it at 9.5, and you went under.
Yeah, like, he might take some at the end of the shot clock, or if he gets switched against a guard or something. But I don't know. Like, now him in that scrimmage taking that three.
Yeah, the game action was more impressive than anything.
Yeah, like, I'll take that. But, like, the mid-range shooting drill where, like, every player on that roster is going to shoot, like, 80% in that drill.
I mean, I guess the big question with him is going to be how real is the three-point shooting? Because if that's going to be, like, 34, 35%, at least if he's a mild threat from out there, that's going to completely change the dynamic of the offense.
It wouldn't shock me at all if he adds the corner three to the repertoire this year.
Is that what we want him doing, or do we want other guys in the corners, and do we want him up top because that's where he's going to be screening?
You primarily want him screening and rolling, but I do think there's value in if he's playing. I mean, that'll allow you to play like him and JJ together to close games if JJ's playing with his head on.
I think that's going to be necessary considering that they might not be the best rebounding team. And I do think having that extra guy in there to grab defensive rebounds is going to be necessary. So I do think that's going to be important.
Yeah.
Am I the only one that, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just about to say, like, we're going to be playing JJ at the four and Derrick Jones Jr. is going to carve out time at the four. And you're going to need somebody to shoot.
Am I the only one that thinks Deion and JJ are going to have bounce back years?
I think Deion is for sure. I mean, I think Deion.
I think with him, it was all health.
Well, JJ.
Well, no, I think both of them are the most, and that's going to sound mean, but are the most cerebral players. So when their bodies fail them, like.
You just look worse, yeah.
Every time those dudes gain weight to get out of shape, like their games go to shit because they don't have a lot else, I don't think. So. And between the hernia, between the ankle, I don't think those guys ever got into game shape last year. And I think Deion, towards the end of the year, actually started playing better. And maybe, he actually looks good this offseason. I mean, I'm not getting my hopes up, not putting all my eggs in that basket. I'm not crazy. I mean, I've seen this movie before, but I just feel like a bounce back season from those two guys actually, you know, it's kind of changes some of the things we think about the team, especially with their depth.
Yeah, if both of those guys are quality role players, then I think the Heat ceiling gets a little bit higher. I don't know how much higher because I still don't put them in like that Philly / Milwaukee class yet.
They're better than Toronto, right? I keep seeing they're not better. Yes, they are.
I mean, I don't know.
There's no DeRozan, no like people are like, oh no, they just went back to the team they were before. No, they had DeMar DeRozan before, who was a great regular season player.
I'll say this about the Raptors.
Pascal. Is just he intrigues the heck out of me. Like if he
as a second option, when they're keying in on him,
he'll be the first option.
Well, okay, exactly. With that much attention on him, game planning for him, I just don't see it. Without Kawhi there, I don't see.
They'll get regular season wins. I think where that's going to be a big issue is going to be the playoffs. In the regular season, they're going to be able to. They're going to have a really good defense. I mean, Marc Gasol is still a very good defender. He's very smart. They have a lot of really smart guys on defense, and their defense is going to win them ball games. And Siakam is just a force of nature in the open floor and all that. And Kyle's still going to be good. So they're gonna kind of hover around that 3-5 range in the standings. And without Kawhi last year, they were still really good. So I don't
see
know
them more than 6-7, but that's just me.
I don't
believe them back to like a lot of ball movement and quicker pace without Kawhi. And I think that's going to help in the regular season. Like the playoffs, then, yeah, you kind of get terrified about Lowry and Pascal kind of trying to carry that load.
I mean, they're probably going to have two All-Stars next year. Kyle and Siakam are probably both going to be All-Stars in Miami. You're lucky if you get two. Maybe Jimmy Butler is probably a lock for Miami, but after him, I don't think there's anybody that you can say is going to be an all-star.
I don't think any of the other guys are going to put up impressive enough numbers.
But, I mean, the Raptors are going to have two of the best players in the conference. And so I know that it's going to sound like me shilling for the Raptors, but, I mean, they're still going to be good. They're not this world beater, but they're going to
I just don't believe. Without Danny Green and without Kawhi, I just don't believe in them.
I think the Danny Green loss is, and this is not a Raptors podcast, but I think the Danny Green loss is going to be a little, is not talked about enough. That's actually going to really hurt them.
Yeah, I mean, we're just talking about the East, and we're talking about where the Heat are going to land, and if the Heat have a better bench, if JJ and Deion step up and the depth is there, like, I see them creeping up into that 3-4 range, because I don't believe in Indiana. I don't believe in Boston. Like, I don't think you can lose Kyrie and Horford and replace them with Kemba and Cantor and improve. I just don't see it happening.
I think that
Who got better?
Detroit's going to get better because of health. I mean, Blake Griffin, they were kind of figuring some stuff out at the end of the season, and Griffin's hopefully going to be healthy.
Yeah, Blake was playing on like one leg at the end of the year.
They're going to be a good team. The teams you got to look at is Orlando. They're going to have a good defense. Clifford's going to do that. We know that. And if Gordon,
I think Orlando did what we did in 2017.
No, I think
awful.
There what?
I said their offseason was awful.
It was bad.
They did what we did. They got excited about a bunch of guys.
They have a lot hinging on Markelle Fultz being good. And that scares me, man. It's either him or DJ Augustine at point guard. And at a certain point, like, that.
I can't believe he's still in the league, man. That's amazing.
Like, good for DJ, man.
No, really good for DJ. But he's like reinvented himself 5 times.
It's very small guard. But yeah, I am
surprised it's still the league. I remember him and do you remember Jack McClinton? They had like a NCAA tournament game where they went back and forth against each other. I hated DJ Augustine for weeks after that.
How is Devin Harris still in the league? That's what I want to know.
Was it DJ Augustine that Wade kicked in the nuts?
Yes. No, that was Ramon Sessions.
Oh, you know what? It's the same guy.
It was Rajon Rondo.
It's essentially... No, he broke his arm.
I think the team from Miami... I think Boston, they're not going to be... The Horford loss is going to be significant, but I think the Kemba and Kyrie is a little more comparable than I think people want to admit, and I think addition by subtraction in that... I don't think everyone's going to hate each other. Guys are going to be more comfortable with role. I think Jalen's going to be better this season. You hope that Jason Tatum's going to be better this season. So I kind of have Boston penciled in at 3 or 4.
Oh, no. I don't know. I guess I don't see
Indiana's it. Indiana's the one I don't really believe in, because Oladipo's not really going to be there for most for the beginning of the season. Losing Bogdanovich is going to hurt them. I know that they got Brogdon at that really expensive price tag. They lose Darren Collison. So, like, I think that's the kind of... You're looking at Brooklyn, you're looking at Indiana and Miami kind of in that spot right under Boston, Toronto, Philly.
I think Brooklyn, Boston, Miami, Indiana, they're all going to be in the same mix. I don't see, like, I think a lot of people are putting the Heat at the 5 or the 6 seed. I just don't see where those other teams have separated themselves that much. I mean, the Heat added Jimmy Butler to a team that was right on the cusp of the playoffs, so...
I want to see what a Brad Stevens defense looks like without a really good big.
Well, they have Ian S. Cantor. What are you talking about?
World beater. That's what I meant. I mean, like, because Brad Stevens, you could say all you want about him as an offensive coach. I mean, they've hung their hat. I'm using all the cliches today. They've hung their hat defensively, and always as a good defensive team. And without Horford there, and now you're going to be playing significant minutes with Cantor. I'm curious as to what they can do defensively.
They're gonna have Grant Williams closing games. It's gonna be great.
That's where I'll give it to you, because I think offensively they're gonna be better. I think they're going to be a better offensive team. And I, even though that Kyrie is a better player offensively than Kemba, I just think that it's addition by subtraction, and guys are gonna be more comfortable in role. And I do think the offense is gonna go better. Kemba's more willing guy to get to the free throw line than Kyrie, which was a big problem with their offense last season, getting free throws and all that stuff. But the defense is where I'd worry about them. Miami, I think you could say that their defense either stayed the same, or probably you're going to get about the same defense from Miami. Yeah.
Yeah, no. I mean, Miami's probably going to be top 5-10 defense. I mean, I'd be surprised if they're not a top five defense. I know the loss of Hassan hurt, but I mean, I just Spo will figure it out.
The loss of who?
Hassan Whiteside. Anything. He used to play center for the Heat.
I will say the bench lineups are going to kind of worry me a little bit.
For Miami?
I think that's going to there's going to be a lot of pressure on JJ to kind of cover for Myers Leonard. And you still have – I mean, I would assume Spo's going to keep Bam and Kelly kind of joined at the hip. So, I mean, I can see where that might be a bit of an issue. But I think they're still going to be like a top 10 defense, but I think they'll be closer to 10 than 5.
Do you think Justice is going to be playing more bench minutes?
I don't want to get depressed. I hope
I kind of think that's where this is going. It sounds to me, from what you're telling me, Nikai, it sounds like we're getting a heaping helping of Justice Winslow off the bench.
I doubt that. I know what Riley said in that press conference, but if you go back to that press conference and look at it now, like, there was a lot of smoke being blown. There's absolutely no way. They were trying to trade Goran.
Riley leads the league in smoke being blown.
Yeah, like, listen, Justice is starting. They were trading Goran because they felt good about Justice starting at the point next to Jimmy Butler. Like, I do not see that happening. I don't see him being traded. I mean, I don't see Justice coming off the bench in any way, shape, or form.
He better not, man. Like, if for no other reason than because you also lost Josh Richardson. So I feel like you kind of need it bare minimum that you start Justice at the three if you're that intent on starting Goran at point guard and you go Goran, Jimmy, and Justice.
You don't think they'd try to put DJJ there?
I've been getting hashtag reports that DJJ has looked very good this summer. That he's worked on the handle, he's worked on the shot. I'll have to see it to believe it.
I know in practice he was working on the three a lot. That's something that he was, I mean, every time I would be at practice, he was working on the corner three. So if that's something that he can add, I am 100% more believing in the offense of this team. I just think a couple guys need to add a somewhat reliable three-point shot.
Bam Adebayo hit a game-winning three-pointing shot in the scrimmage with Team USA.
You're obsessed with that.
Yo, did you see this picture of him boxing out Miles Turner? He boxed out two guys.
You're obsessed with box outs because Hassan never did it.
He dunked on Jared Allen.
I feel bad for Jared Allen. And this is obviously not a Nets podcast, but...
I love Nets podcast. Let's do it, dude. Let's talk about Jared Allen.
No, why let's is he talk playing more about Bam Adebayo.
Why is
more
why
like
is,
Bam Adebayo?
Why is Jared Allen playing Summer League?
I made it's the so, joke on so, Twitter that he had to get playing time any way that he could because they brought in DeAndre Jordan. Like, I guess if you're getting Kevin Durant and the cost is DeAndre Jordan, like, you kind of have to do that.
Do you trade Jared Allen at this point?
I mean, you trade DeAndre Jordan if you can.
No, but you can't get Kevin and Kyrie mad, so you got to keep DJ, and you could probably get something nice for Jared Allen.
I mean, I guess within that context, yeah, you probably try to sell high on him since they also drafted Nick Claxton, which is a kind of a switchy big that I like. So, I don't know. That's just kind of tough for Jared Allen, man. He tried to add the three to his game last year. It didn't really work at all. But still a great shot blocker, still a good rim roller.
I have a question for you about that. Do you think that probably bigs are feeling pressure to add a three to their game when they're not really built for that and they're just not really going to be good shooters and it's taking away them working on other skills within their realm?
I think so. I mean, I feel like for bigs now, like if you don't have a reliable jumper, you have to be able to make quick decisions in short roll. It has to be one of the two. And if you can't do either, then you're easily schemed out of a playoff series, and that's what that's what every team should be looking towards, like building towards a team that can be a threat in the playoffs. So I would definitely say, like, big men are kind of feeling more pressure to either add a jumper or become better passers. I think the jumper is the easiest thing to work on.
I feel like the passing is going to probably be an easier thing for Bam. I think that he's just more gifted at that.
Oh, he has it. So I think for him, he has soft touch. He's been a good free throw shooter since he's been in the league. So I think for him, it's just really getting in-game reps at this point. We know he takes them in practice, and he's taking them in scrimmages. So if he ever gets comfortable enough to take those corner threes in rhythm, I think he's shown that he has the touch to do that.
I'd rather him, though, be more confident in swinging the ball around, not just in short rule situations, but like sometimes when they do elbow sets and they're, you know, you can fake a dribble handoff and you can find a guy, like stuff like that. I kind of want to see him do more of.
Yeah, I'd like to see him get more aggressive in those dribble handoffs, if anything. I think the passing vision is there. He makes great decisions with the ball. He's already showed those kind of those high low reads with Kelly. In the very limited sample we saw with him playing with Hassan, tossed him a couple of lobs. Like, I think the passing repertoire, I think, is there for him.
You want to see him like be more aggressive, like on the face-up game, like.
Yeah, like I think I've talked about this on the pod before, and I've written about it. Like he's a very much a high free throw rate guy.
Yes.
He can live at the line if he has that mindset.
I kind of wish he would work out with like Amari. I feel like that would do him like a lot of good.
Yeah, like he's so quick.
I don't know how quick his first step is with the ball, but he's a quick guy.
I think he has a pretty good quick first step. Honestly, it's just we don't see it too often. Like
we don't.
He just has to do it. I mean, that's what kind of shut me up about him when he first got drafted. He played in the summer league. He's pushing off of misses. He faces up a big from the 3-point line and just goes. I was like, well, he has ball skills. That's different. That's new. He's not Ekpe Udo. So I think he has the athleticism advantage over like 95% of NBA centers. It's just a matter of him having that green light and also having the confidence to put that in action.
I do think it's a confidence thing because I've said this before, but I've heard that he has a green light to do stuff. He just doesn't do it. So I think maybe the summer might be giving him the confidence doing it in Team USA. Probably going to give him a little confidence to do some more of this. Without Hassan breathing down his neck as well, I do think that'll help.
Yeah, like he has no – there's no real threat of him losing the job. Unless the Heat
can take chances.
Yeah, like do that. Now, if the Heat make a trade and then like Dwight Howard's still a free agent, then maybe he sweats a little bit. But I'll, you know –
Spider-Man
was ready.
But do you think Jimmy's gonna help him or hurt his game? Because the thing with Jimmy that worries me is kind of him not really as a shooting threat, and I don't look at Jimmy as this really good patient pick and roll player that Bam is gonna want to be with. I feel like maybe Justice is a little better for him in that sense.
I would push back on that a little bit. I do think Jimmy is more methodical with the ball, and I think that's what kind of helped Philly. Especially at the end of games, because he was a great decision maker with the ball. He's a guy that can make good reads and good decisions in pick and rolls. I do think he's kind of like he doesn't play with the exact same cadence that Dwayne does in pick and roll, but he's definitely that kind of methodical. Let me get him off the screen, put him on my hip, I'll knock down the pull up jumper if it's there type thing. So I don't know what that says for Bam and his like lob opportunities, but I think that pairing is going to be efficient.
I think Dwayne is probably one of the most if he is the most patient guy in pick and roll I've ever seen.
Oh, absolutely. Like he just has a totally different style to him than other players. It's
kind of slithers
still
around.
He's like 36. Like you can't really get a read on him. He couldn't beat guys off the dribble. He's still drawing fouls. He's still getting those lobs. He's just a master at manipulating defenses.
It was kind of like wonderful to watch because he'd have the ball and he'd come off a screen and sometimes he would just wait there and he would take like a dribble or two and wait and the defense just would not know what to do. And then he makes a move and they're kind of frozen. And it was like he would have to go in his bag and do all sorts of weird, wacky things and he would just always find a damn way. And then it ends with the scoop layup and he's getting fouled.
The freaking pump fake.
Yo, that's I'm going to miss that. I hope Justice carries the pump fake torch.
Justice has to knock down pull-up shots this year.
They need someone to do that, and it can't be Jimmy all the time.
It has to be Jimmy.
It's going to be some of the time, but you're going to need more. I mean, like...
Like, Justice having confidence taking those pull-up middies last year was a good sign. Wasn't great on them, but the confidence is what really matters. And he's been drilling that this summer, so hopefully he comes with that in his bag. But if not, I mean, it's going to be Jimmy, who's a pretty good...
It's
going
to be Jimmy and Dion.
Yeah, and... I didn't get a chance to really respond to Alpha on that. Like, I don't know. I just don't know what a comeback year consists of for Deion. Because, like, he was a great spot-up shooter last year. but then everything else just kind of fell apart.
I think with Deion, the thing you're most going to be concerned about is the finishing at the rim, right? Because I think the defense, if he's healthy, I'm pretty sure we're confident that that'll be there, at least at a competitive level. The shooting, I'm not too particularly worried about that. What I am is the finishing. We know that he can get to the basket, but he has a propensity to miss layups a lot, and that's not good.
You guys missed the biggest Deion Waiters news in the last 24 hours.
Yeah, what did he name his kid?
So if you missed it, last night Heat guard Deion Waiters has announced the birth of his family's newest daughter, Dream Riley Waiters. Yes, Dream Riley Waiters.
I have questions.
It's an homage to Meek Mill and also Pat Riley at the same time. Great. It doesn't get much more Philly than that, man. I don't know.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.